done on earth as it is in heaven. God, you've given us this day, and we thank you, Lord. The devil tried to kill us, tried to deny us, but you've given us this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so, God, we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad. Now, God, again, we pray that you would just open our eyes, unstop our ears, break up the fallow ground. Come on, Jesus, and do it like you do it so well. There is none like you. Nobody does it like you. Thank you, God. You are the desire of our heart. You're our first love. You're my reason for pressing on. I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, but because you thought about me, and God, I thought about you, you helped me get up. You helped me to stand up. You helped me to praise up. You helped me to lift up. I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So God, help us today. Lord, help me. Strengthen, restore, revive. Let your name get all the glory. In the name of Jesus. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen. Amen. And amen. Come on and bless him again. Come on, everybody, lift up a praise unto God. You don't do nothing but wave your hand. You don't do nothing but shake your head from side to side. Let him know you're alive. Let him know you love him. Let him know you're trying to get a message through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Romans chapter 8, if you will, please. Amen. Again, God bless you, each and every one of you. God knows you're so important to the purpose of the kingdom. I told the Christian Academy this morning that you are significant. Each and every one of you make a difference in the kingdom. Each and every one of you brings something unique to ministry. Yes, sir. God didn't keep you alive for nothing. Yes, sir. You got something to offer. And I just believe there's a blessing standing right where you are.
Say that.
There's a blessing right where you are. Amen. And if anybody else don't want it, you ought to volunteer. Say, Lord, I'll take it. I'm convinced that folk leave stuff laying around the throne place of glory. But if I have to be a janitor for the Lord, I'll come and clean it up every time. Lord, if they don't want it, I'll take it. To your name be glorified. Romans 8, if you will, smartphones, tablets, iPads. Romans 8. If you come down to verse 31, this is a very familiar setting for all of us. Romans chapter 8, it's in the New Testament of the Bible, in verse 31, the New Living Translation of the Bible. That's what I have. If you have a different translation, that's all right. We're going to work it out. Amen. Amen. Verse 31 says, what can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Ushers, thank you so much. Hope you saved yourself a choice seat among the people of God. Amen. As we're making our seating places comfortable, do me a favor, if you don't mind, as we get ready to move along here, if you don't mind, if you will put a little smile on your face. Some of y'all had to work a little harder than that. Some of y'all got some real issues going on right now. Amen. Just smile and look at your neighbor. Don't look at him if you ain't smiling. If anybody looking at you and their face kind of crooked, tell them you can keep that to yourself. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. My life has been interesting. Amen. Amen. My life has been interesting. I thought about, I know Reverend Austin's going to come this afternoon and really do the official homecoming sermon, I guess it were. But I thought about it long and hard. I wanted to do a follow-up. Really, initially, my intention, Dr. Dixon, was to do a follow-up from getting my to-do list done. And I was going to preach a sermon saying, you can't finish if you don't start. But I can say that one. I can keep that one on the burner. But I thought about it, and I woke up in the middle of the night after Wednesday prayer, and I just got caught up in verse 31. And so I really think that we can all relate to the fact that our lives have been interesting. Amen. I mean, can I get three or four of y'all to be honest enough to admit that there are folk who think they know you that have no clue? And I want to tell you, I'm not going to trouble you long, but I want to tell you that doesn't necessitate that anything spooky or anything unsavory is going on, or that you leading a double life or some covert assignment, but it simply strongly suggests that there are just some times when your life gets interesting. And so Paul says to us, as if he has come to a place where the only thing he can say is, what can I say? King James Version, of which many of you are familiar, reads a little differently. It simply declares, what shall we say unto these things? Can I get somebody to just wave back at me and admit there are a whole lot of things happening in your life? Yeah, everybody, matter of fact, just look at your neighbor and say, everybody's got these things. Amen. Paul is the same guy, Melvin, that would remind us that we've got to press toward the mark. Paul is the same guy that says that we are more than conquerors. This is the guy who tells us that we've got to deal with our its. Paul is the same guy that had an intimate conversation with God about thorns and ministry management and mismanagement. But he always seems to come away with a resolve to keep going. And if I can say anything to any of you in the initial introduction of our time together, just keep going. Don't ever let it get you down. And even if it gets you down, push it off you and get back up. You can't just lay there and die. And you don't realize sometime, I know I got a witness to this, and try not to outshout anybody around you, but can I get somebody to admit that you're a lot closer than you think? Some of you don't realize that your breakthrough is just another breath away. You can't let circumstances and calamities get the best of you. Paul says that there are a lot of things that have happened in life. And so, Lewis, he comes to this summary celebration of simply saying, well, what shall we say about it? In the New Living Translation that we chose today, he calls them such wonderful things. And I would suggest to all of us today that you not become disheartened because you don't have such wonderful things. But I will say to you as well that even the bad stuff can bless you. I wish y'all was listening to me. I'm telling you now that you're going to learn more from your heartaches than you're going to learn from eating cotton candy the rest of your life. You're going to have to resolve. You're going to have to readjust and regroup and reinvigorate yourself every other opportunity that you get, because there are things that are going to happen to you that ain't got nothing to do with how good you are. It ain't got nothing to do with how wonderful you are or how nice you are. Listen, you can drop money in every bucket of the blind man from here to eternity. You can feed every stranger. You can open your house to passersby. You can give a ride to everybody walking in the rain. You can give away all your goods to the poor, and hell gonna still come calling. Am I right about it? You need to understand now that the devil lies to you when he tries to tell you that because of that, God does this. And anybody in this room that's lived more than 5 minutes will be able to testify, I don't get what I deserve, and I thank God that he's more than fair. What goes around don't always come around. And you don't always reap what you sow, because some of us have gotten away with some things. And I know I'm right about it, but Paul says we have to look at our lives in survey and come up with a celebration that says it's okay. I thank God because I recognize that God has been for me. I'm not fighting an uphill battle all by myself. Even when I'm in brokenness, God is blessing me. Even when I didn't get what I wanted, God was blessing me. Even when they lied on me and pushed me down, God was still blessing me. Bible itself declared that the hand that hurt me is the hand that helped me. Amen. And so he reminds us, he said, listen, what are we going to say? And all we can say is my life has been interesting. I've had my share of circumstance that didn't make no sense. Can I get one witness just to wave at me and admit that there's been some of that it don't make no sense moments? Yeah. Yeah. You have moments in life when you have done all you know how to do to manage and manipulate, and yet things still go to madness. Some of us have testified that I didn't sign on for this. Some of us can still say under our breath and even on pen and paper that if I had known it was going to be like this, I'd have went the other way a long time ago. But what I am encouraging to tell you today, or what I'm encouraged to tell you today, is God is with you. Yeah, no matter how dark the night, no matter how fierce the storm, no matter how your stomach and hunger pains will wreck you, no matter how many times they give you a pink slip, no matter how many times they turn you down, no matter how low your credit score, no matter how many people walk in and out of your life, you can still declare with assurance that God is with me. Don't act like God can't go to hungry and low places. Don't act like God can't go to poverty and perished places. Don't act like God can't be in barren places. Thanks be unto God that the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You can't go nowhere that God ain't already made his name. And for that reason, you can live an interesting life. He reminds us, I like what Paul says to the church. He said, listen, we suffer now, but it's nothing when you compare what we're going through now with that future glory. Nudge your neighbor and say, just hang in there. Paul says, Jennifer, it's going to be revealed later. Amen. Some of y'all get upset because you can't get your microwave blessing. You can't get it right now. Listen, everything can't happen right now. Some of y'all need to admit your right now is kind of crowded already. Say amen, somebody. Paul says, listen, please don't get frustrated because we see through a glass darkly and it does not yet appear. But it shall be revealed later. And how many know that when God says later, he means later? And if he said later, later gonna come. Am I right about it? That's why Grandma told you, he may not come when you call it, but he gonna be on time. Amen. That's why they sang that song with enthusiasm back in the old church that said, we'll understand better by and by. Tell your neighbor, keep living till you're by and by. You got to understand, beloved of God, that there are something that layaway can't hold for you. There are something that today cannot present to you. But God has a promise that says, I will reveal later. That's why I don't understand people who are afraid of the revelation letter. The word itself is intriguing enough to me. People say, oh, Revelation. Listen, I like Revelation because it exposes the future truth. Thank you, Lord, for Revelation. Ain't no S on it either. It's Revelation. You have a God who had made a promise. Paul says to the church, he said, listen, please understand, you have a flesh to deal with. But you have a spirit for a deposit. Y'all missed that. I got to live in this frame. You do too. But the spirit has made a deposit that says in the word of God, I have gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you'll be there also. And the reason I know you'll be there is because the spirit has made its deposit. I have not revealed everything. Flesh and blood don't know everything. The spirit has already. That's why Grandma and them sang that song and said, I know I've been changed because the angels in heaven. That's spirit stuff right there. Everybody can't shout right there. That says, but they know that the angels in heaven. He reminds us, I'm about there now. He said, listen, please understand that we have a God. Who cannot lie? Can I get somebody to just say, I know that's right? See, we don't live by the will of a man or a woman. We live by the will of God. Our life is in his hands. And so Paul says, if you're going to get anywhere, he said, please understand that the will of God, the paramount purpose in the life of the predestined is that you be conformed. I didn't get enough amens. Okay, the word conform threw you off. Be made. Yeah. Like him. So can I tell you why some of y'all lead interesting lives? Y'all trying to be like other people. When you ought to really try to be like God. Okay, I got seven. The word of God says that believers might be conformed into the image of Christ. That's transformation life right there. The believers, now here it is, this fleshman, everybody ain't a believer. That may be a problem for some of us. Not any of you. You are the most wonderful people because you are sitting in the house of the Lord on the second Sunday in September. Okay, who are we fooling? Not everybody's a believer. He says, it's right there. If you still got your Bible open, I pray you didn't close it. He said, look, it's right there in verse 29. He said, listen, for God knew his people in advance and chose them to become like his son. Good news. God knew you in advance, because you do know that if everybody knew about you like they don't know about you, they would probably go sit somewhere else real quick. If everybody knew the other you, Don't look at nobody. Everybody stay focused. I'm looking out the door myself. I'm not even looking at y'all. I'm looking outside of that tree right there. If everybody knew you like you is, not like you going to become, because thank God, therefore laid up for me. But if everybody, God knew you in advance. In other words, before you put on your church makeup and your church clothes and you got yourself together a little bit, before you stop drinking as much as you used to drink and smoking as much as you used to smoke and doing what you, God knew you in advance and still chose you to become, that's a free shout right there, because as jacked up as some of us still are, and yet he still lets you live. He still puts food on your table, clothes on your back. He still lets you breathe his air. He chose you. And look at your neighbor and tell them, luck ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. He said, listen, that's the ministry. That the will of God is that you be conformed, that you be changed in advance. You spend too much time trying to be like other folk, trying to sing like somebody else and walk like somebody else and be you. You done messed that up enough. Don't mess up somebody else. He says, I'm going to finish. He said, listen, don't need to fret over that. Don't fret over it. He said, listen, because God is for us. How many of you feel like you're a little behind schedule? You'd rather be a better you. Come on now. You know there's some room for improvement, right? But he said, don't fret over it. Because the will of God is for us. Some of us, our own worst enemies. Sometimes. Okay, some of y'all, most of the time. He said, listen, the proof is, watch this now, and this is why you don't have to reserve your shouts for the song that you like when the choir sings. Your shout ought to be all the time. Why? Here's the proof. He said, because he gave his best for us. It's right in the Bible. He said, listen, he did not hold back. He gave his only son so that you and I can lead these interesting lives. In the text, he said, and listen, we know everything going to work. Y'all don't believe it? Look at verse 28. He said, we know everything is going to work together. Some of y'all have been trying to discard some stuff and hide some stuff and run from some stuff. And no, baby, all that's working together. Amen. Look at them and say, go and put that back in there. I mean, now, there's some things you probably shouldn't write on your resume. And some of y'all ought to pray them to do a thorough background check. But thank God, all things should work together. Listen, next time you go for a job and they turn you down and say, listen, the Bible say all things work together. You hire me anyway. I prove myself. You have a God. Watch this now. He says that all of this stuff that you've gone through with your interest in self is going to work together. Can I get at least two or three witnesses to admit that some of the stuff you thought was going to break you made you better? Some of the stuff that you don't want nobody to know is what makes you keep on going right now. Because you've been there, done that. And you learned from it, didn't you? So Paul says, give us the summary of the matter, Pastor. We got to go eat because people are hungry now. Okay, that's fine. He also reminds us, he says, there are four promises I want to give you, and then we'll get to the meat of the matter, Sister McKenzie. He said, first of all, That nobody can indict you over your sins. Nobody. Right in the text, he said, listen, we don't have to worry about it because nobody is free of sin.
And since nobody is free of sin, nobody can judge sin. Because all have sinned. Look at them and say, we got your number this time. Yeah, you've been sitting up here all sophomoric before, acting like you didn't know, but we got you this time. All, and you look like an all, have sinned. Am I right about it? And nobody can hold that against, because the Bible says, who can lay charge against the elect of God? Look at your other name and say, not guilty. Look at another name and say, oh, I did it, but not guilty. Nobody can lay charge against the elect of God. That's why if you ever want to get your life together and get off scot-free and start feeling less guilty, you need to make sure you become the elect of God. Because none but the righteous shall see him, but your righteousness ain't got nothing to do with what church you go to, or how cute you are, or how many times you did not cuss, or how many times you did not steal, or how many times you did not lie. Your righteousness is in the righteousness of God, and thanks be unto God, he gave righteousness to all.
He said, nobody gonna indict us. Then he said, nobody can condemn us. Bible said, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. New Living Translation, Melvin says, to them that belong to God.
You belong to God? Y'all didn't sound like you're sure. Let me try again. You belong to God? Still don't sound like you're sure. I ain't going to ask you no more. He said, listen, there is no condemnation. He didn't say we didn't do stuff. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand if you done something. But he said there's no condemnation. Some of y'all just like telling on yourself. Well, if some of us going to tell, all of us ought to tell. Everybody that done something. Ma'am, is there a problem? Oh, okay, go on. He said, nobody can condemn us. Why? He said, because Christ died for our sin. And now advocates for us. I love that about the Lord. Melvin, not only did he die for our sins, he keeps advocating on our behalf. You know why? Because we keep messing up. How many of you remember when you were a child to get the whooping the end fast, you said you wasn't going to do it no more? And no more was 10 minutes later. He advocates for us. He said, not only are we not going to be indicted, no longer can anyone condemn us. I like this part, Jennifer. He said, and nothing can separate us. Y'all ain't going to be able to put me out. Remember that song Grandma and them used to sing? They say, when I get to heaven, nobody will be able to put me out. Amen. How many of y'all have been put out before? Some of y'all have been leading interesting lives. He said, listen, nothing shall be able to separate us. They're not going to be able to categorize us. You know, sometimes in life, Reverend White, they categorize people. You know, they put the good kids over here and the bad kids over there. They let the smart students sit up front and those who are struggling have to sit in the back. And they let the favorable, handsome kids take pictures in the album. And then the other kid, they tell you photo day has been canceled. They do things to separate us. And they separate us by color. And they separate us by income. And they separate us by our abilities. But the Bible said nothing shall be able to separate us. Watch this now. From the love of Christ Jesus. Look at your name and tell them love's got a lot to do with it. I'm here to help somebody to understand this afternoon that even though you've been leading an interesting life, you got four things in your favor. Somebody said, wait a minute, Reverend, I was counting there and you only gave us three. Well, I've got one more to give you, but I want to save it till I'm about out of breath. I want you to understand right now that there are some common things that bring this constituency together. In other words, remember what he said there in the text. I'll be running along quickly here. He said, listen, you must understand that all of us are common by our concerns. Look at your name and say, common concerns. What is it? He said, what shall we say? In other words, what he reminds us of, Cedric, is that everybody's got something to deal with. All of us have something we need to lay at the altar of God. All of us have something that keeps us up at night. There are all kinds of issues going on in people's lives. I am convinced of God that the reason some of us drink too much is because we're trying to swallow up our problems in alcohol and drugs. Some of us do other things to take away the edge of the problems that we are dealing with. Some of us, we sit up at night and we pace the floor and we don't get any rest because we are concerned about what's going on in our lives. But can I tell you, your light's not the only one on at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're not the only one trying to drink milk and eat cookies to get some sleep. You're not the only one counting sheep. You're not the only one afraid of the judgment coming on tomorrow. You are just like me, and I am just like you. My children act crazy too. My bills come with a stamp on them sometime. My phone rings with unknown numbers. I've got things that cause me to stay up in the middle of the night. I don't sing like I used to because I've got some problems. I can't preach with power because I've got some problems. I've got some folk I'm trying to avoid because of problems. Paul says, what shall we say? In other words, look at your name and say, I feel your pain. I understand what's going on in your life, but can I turn you from victim to victor? Because the Bible says, listen, many are the afflictions, but he throws in the know all calls and the call that helps us to shout together. He does not say many are the afflictions of the bad. Many are the afflictions of the worthless. Many are the afflictions of the troublemakers. Many are the afflictions of the liars. We would all understand if those persons were in trouble, but what he said, in Richburg, that shook me to my core, is the psalm writer said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I've been doing the best I know how, but yet I still find myself in trouble. That's why I know I'm not the only one. You can sit up here with your face made up and try to act like you ain't got no problem, but I got to come clean today because I need him every hour, and every hour I need him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't have one problem. I don't have two problems. I got a whole lot of problems. But anybody know that every problem I've got, God can solve. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, we gonna make it, baby. We all in this thing together. If you help me, I'll help you. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. You check on me, I'll check on you. Because many are the afflictions. That we've got common concerns. But then he goes on and said, listen, I know grandma will kick in right now. Grandmama said, listen, baby, but you reap what you sow. But look at your neighbor and say, listen, I may be culpable, but I wasn't convicted. Yeah, I may be culpable, but I wasn't convicted. I know I had my part, but thanks be unto God, he looks beyond my faults and has met my every need. He said, listen, you don't have to be a victim, you can be a victim. Then he reminds us, he said, listen, not only, Sandra, that's number one. Number two, he said, not only are we common in our concerns, what shall we say? He reminds them of this. He said, listen, we are connected by the comfort of Christ. Woo! Yeah, I like that one. What does he say? He said, if God be for us. I pray God that when we get to heaven, I'm going to run over there and talk to Paul about this one. I'm going to say to Paul, listen, you should have wrote because God is for us. Because I don't believe in an if God. I believe in a because God. Look at your name and say, I know that's right. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Not if he lives. Because he died for me. Because he gave it up for me. Because he is, I am. Because he does, I do. And so, Paul, you're right. But I've got the comfort of Christ. How many know that even if you're in trouble, when you got the comfort of Christ, you can now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, tell your neighbor, I've got the comfort of Christ because he put his arms around me. I heard the Lord say, come unto me, all the labor and a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, You look like you can use some rest. Your eyes all puffed up. Your weave ain't tight no more. You done chewed off your fingernails. You ain't shouting like you used to. You ain't dancing like you used to. You don't have your joy. But if you call on the Lord, how many know if you call on the Lord that he will? I said he will. How many know if you call him up in the midnight hour that God will? If you call him up in the midst of your storm, he'll calm your seed. If you call him up in your dry places, he'll water your land. If you call him up, God will. I say God will. I wish I had one witness that can tell another witness. I tried him for myself and I found out that he's all right. Ain't God all right? I tried him for myself. I called him up. I ain't got my mama's testimony. I got my own testimony that I call on the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me. Now safe am I. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I recommend Jesus. I don't want to recommend nobody that can't do somebody like somebody did me. He is my rock, my fortress, my strong tower. Ain't God all right? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. But then he says, sit down, y'all making people nervous. He said, not only is there the connection by the comfort of Christ. In other words, he said, listen, we all in God together. But he reminded him, he said, listen, it's not a question if God. No. It's a confirmation of care and course management. Oh, I like that kind of preaching there. He said it's a confirmation of his care and course management. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you determine it to be course management? Well, Sandra, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible says our steps are ordered by the Lord. Oh, help me somebody. Can I get somebody to look at somebody else and tell them, even when God was with me, I got in trouble because my steps are ordered by God. Y'all don't believe me, see? I'm telling you now that even when you're walking with him, trouble will show up. But he said, listen, God will take care of it because he's the finest at course management. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, he further affirms his affirmation. Oh, I like that, Sandra. He affirms his affirmation. What did he affirm in affirmation, Pastor? He said, I'll never leave you and I won't forsake you. He said, your mama and daddy might turn on you. Your sisters and brothers might deny you. Your best pew partner might act like they don't know you. You do know that there are some troubles that you get in that some folk act like they don't know you. But thanks be unto God, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's why Grandma said, I got my hand in the winding chain. I've come too far. Yes, I have. I've come too far. Nudge your name, say, excuse me now, but I'm going to need some room for myself because I've come too far to turn back now. I've come a long ways, been through the valley, but I decided not to stay. I've been up on mountains and didn't have my way, but I've come too far through many dangers, toils and snares. Look at a name, say, I've already come. Look at another name, say, been there, done that, but through it all, through it all, I've learned how to lean and depend on him. Anybody depend on him? Anybody depend on him? Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. One more. Can I get one more? I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Not only, watch this now. Not only, Wanda, does he say that we are common in our concerns. Yeah, that's everybody. Not only do we have the connection by the comfort of Christ, God before us, but then, Melvin, he says, listen, we have a confirmation that we are conquerors. Look at her name and say, baby, I'm going to win this one. Listen, I might have lost a few, but I'm going to win this one. Because the Bible says that I am more than a conqueror. In other words, he reminds us, he said, listen, how can you win when you got so much against you? Well, tell another neighbor, I don't mind that problem. I don't have the problem about worrying about who's against me. I don't worry about who's talking about me. I don't worry about who's lying on me.
How can you be so resolved in your stance? Well, I read this book. It's called a Bible. And there is this verse that caught my attention. And the verse says, no weapon formed against me. Look at your name and say, you better do your best work now. No weapon formed against me. Deacon Larry, what I noticed in that was he didn't say they wouldn't form the weapon, but he said it wouldn't function. Look at your name and say, you can form it, but it won't function. Look at another name and shout malfunction. Yeah, no weapon formed. Listen, go ahead and take your best shot. Go ahead and do what you're going to do, devil. Go ahead and line me up for trouble. Go ahead and put stuff in my way. But I read the word of God, and it says that the weapons will be formed. It said that the weapons will be put into play, but the Bible says malfunction. The Bible says, don't worry about the enemies. Don't worry about those who lay traps and snares. Look at another name and say, he's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. God will make it malfunction. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, it's time for us to go now. But I've got one more thing to tell you. You would be mindful of messing with me. I've already had an interesting life, and I've left a whole lot in my wake. There are a whole lot of folk that thought they were going to bring me down. But I've got some news for you. You would be mindful of that, because the Bible says, though 1,000 fall by my side and 10,000 die around me, that God will make no evil touch me. Look at a name, say, neighbor, I'm gonna do a flashback to the 80s and I'm gonna shout like MC Hammer, can't touch this. Look at another name and say, can't touch this, because the Bible says no evil shall touch my life. I feel good now because I know that I will be more than a conqueror. I feel my help coming now. I'm so glad to tell you that God will provide. God will make a way somehow. Am I right about it? Can I get one witness that can tell somebody, I've had my share of ups and downs, but through it all, he made a way for me. Won't God make a way? Ain't God all right? I'm so glad to tell you, you gotta keep your eyes open. You can't close your eyes. You can't squint. You can't blink. You gotta stay focused, because you can't hit what you can't see. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I'm going in with my eyes wide open, because God will. I say God will. But I gotta leave y'all now. I told you three things that begin with C's. So one more C gonna help us see. Look at another name and say, neighbor, crosses do become crowns. Yes, sir, buddy. Crosses become crowns, because the Bible says that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. He said, you got to carry your cross. Look at another name and say, neighbor, this dent in my shoulder is from carrying my cross. But I know that one of these days, when all is said and done, therefore laid up for me is a crown of righteousness that will be given on that day. I say crosses become crowns. Can I get somebody to understand why Adam lost paradise? Yes, he did. Noah got drunk. Yes, he did. Abraham and Sarah got a little bit old. But God. Joseph got turned on. But God. Elijah had to deal with Jezebel. But God. The brooks dried up. But God. David had Goliath. But God. Joseph, you know what it's like. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that I didn't give up, but I kept on climbing. I kept on crawling. I kept on digging. But God, and one of these days, I'm going to trade my cross and get my crown. Anybody want a crown? Anybody want a crown? Anybody want a crown? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. A crown for my interest in life. Because crosses become crowns. Problem with some of us, we keep ducking the cross. So you're going to be denied your crown. You want your crown? Get your cross. Carry it with pride. So you're struggling. You ain't the only one. I told you the Bible says common were their concerns. Don't let anybody fool you. Everybody on the outside ain't the same on the inside. But see, the good news is, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Listen, see, you get all confused and all Twitter-pated about what's going on out here. Grandma said, you got to go to your secret closet. You got to get a little quiet time with the Lord. And Jess, I believe they spell the Lord L-A-W-D. They weren't trying to be fancy. They didn't go to Harvard. Grandma went to that old scrub boat out back with that old black tub in the yard. And she sang praises unto God. She didn't complain that she didn't have a washing machine. She prayed God that she had a rub bowl and a little hot water. But she talked it over with Jesus. And the Bible reminds us that he hears and answers prayer. So you've had an interesting life. But what shall we say to such wonderful things? I think it's been all right. I think I shall praise him rather than pout. I shall look at my life differently now. Gladys Knight says, if anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there might be, you'll be there between each line of pain and glory, because you're the best thing. Woo! You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And she wasn't talking about no fella. She intended for that to be a gospel medley. If anyone, she said, nosy folk want to tell my business, let them go ahead and tell it, because you'll be there. Say, somehow I made it through. Look at your name and say, somehow. Yeah, folk who I thought had a more advantageous position than I are not here. But somehow I've made it through. Somehow I got up again. Somehow I dried up all my tears. Fix my face, brush my teeth and comb my hair, put on my best little raggedy dress, my best little raggedy suit, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I girded up my loins, whatever that means, and I got back out there. Let's stand on our feet together. It's time for y'all to go. You've had an interesting life. But can I tell you, that's your story. Some folk walk around and brag, talking about, I ain't never been fired. You've been fired 12 times. Man, that's a story right there. That's testimony. Everybody can't keep the same job forever. If everybody kept the same job, they couldn't put no advertisement in the paper about jobs. You helping the economy by getting fired. Some people tell him, yeah, me and old Herbert been dating since high school. We've been married 59 years. Well, that's good for you and Herbert. I'm on my sixth husband. 3 years at a time, that's all I keep them. That's your testimony. It's your interest in life. Some folk children don't never get in trouble. You can tell the difference between folk who got different kind of kids than other kids. Folk who have children don't never get in trouble. People with children get in trouble. Where my children parents at? My children crazy. People have children don't have that problem. I got children. Amen. But you've had an interest in life. It don't always have to go that way. But the summary is we're connected by the comfort of Christ. Go that way. But the summary is we're connected by the comfort of Christ. What he's done for others, he'll do it for you. If you're in this room today leading an interesting life and you want to keep living, but you need that glory of God. And you do need it, you know. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I highly recommend Jesus. Can I find my witnesses that will at least wave? You don't have to say nothing, but that's the way. Y'all don't even know what you're waving for yet. Y'all just want to wave. Okay, let's get that out of the way. Get that out of your system. I should have thrown something in there and say, who will wave and give $1,000 today? I bet y'all hands would have went down then. But here's what you're waving for. Can I get you to wave that you know you couldn't have made it without it? In all of your quirks and idiosyncrasies and weirdness, you have to thank God for Jesus. Lord, I made it because of you. And so I want to invite you today, if you're standing in this room, we're going to get ready to go. It's time for us to have lunch. It's a good day. We get to eat together and sit around the table and talk about things. Now, you can't eat and don't come back to 3 o'clock church. Matter of fact, rope off the parking lot. Nobody leaves till I say go. Some of y'all saying, well, I'll come and get my car later, Reverend. Okay. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I know how they think. But let me tell you something. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to come now and do that. I wouldn't leave today because you got some more interesting living to do. Tell you, neighbor, I know that's right. The day ain't half over yet. There's still some quirkiness yet to be unquirked, especially in my life. Anybody get that feeling that every now and then that you about the only one that weird stuff happened to? You say to yourself, Lord, am I over the weird limit yet? You know, am I the only one the heel fall off my shoe on the first step at the church? Come on, Lord, I made it all the way to the church. And, you know, right in the middle of the worship service, my son or daughter sent me a text. Send money, been arrested. I was praising God, and you were in jail. You know, a little crazy stuff. Yeah. But you've got an interest in God. That's why you've got an interest in life. You have a God that can do anything. Anybody got in them anything God blessings? Oh, yeah, man. So when would you come? Our doors are open. While we're all standing, our doors are open. If there's one today, two, three, four, young man, young woman, you've not accepted Jesus Christ. You're just like the rest of us, man. All we do is dress different. You know, the pastor ain't no different than the deacon no different than the trustees, and down the line it goes. Only thing about us that make us different is we wear something different to work. You know. But all of us got to go back home to it. Everybody got to go back home to something. Go back Monday to something, or Tuesday to something. But thank you, Lord, that you put a hedge round about us and make it all right. If you're here today and you've not accepted Christ, would you come? That's important today because you're going to have to get through it. Sometimes life gets so heavy that you're entitled to sit down and take a break. Sometimes you just need to catch your breath. But don't quit. You can't stay there forever. You can't give up now. You're only 25. What do you mean you're quitting? Ask some of us that's 50 about when we were 25. Amen. And some of us that's 50 never thought we'd see it because we were 25. But we didn't quit. We're going to rob Peter to pay Paul folk at. But finally, you got that last one that says final bill. You said to yourself, "Woo, Lord." And then you went out and bought something else. But your crazy self. You done finally paid them people. Now you back in there. Get out of there. Amen. But God is good. Secondly, we want to say to you that there's a restoration clause in the Bible. Where the Bible says that he will restore. It's homecoming. Good day to get restored. Just to start fresh. Doesn't mean you got to start all over. Because you know the truth of the matter is I used to think one time. Says Darlene that I want to start over. And I don't want to start over. Some of that stuff I don't want to do again. Give me a good place to start. That's all I need. I don't want to start over. Just give me a good place to start. And a good place to start is right now. Right now. You can't go back and fix all that broke stuff. How many got some stuff you broke that you don't want to admit you broke, so you ain't going back there anyway? Amen. So God, let me start today. Just give me September the 14th at 12:58. As my new start point. Let this be my reborn moment. And God, I'll make the best of it till I mess up again. And then I'll make the best of that till I mess up again. Because you're a God of many chances. So if you need restoration, you just want a new moment, God will give it to you right now. No cost. You ain't got to put nothing in the basket. Ain't no $50 line of restoration. You can just say, God, I just need it. If you don't want to move from where you are, if you just send up your information to God right now, just say, Lord, he's really talking to me, but I'm going to stay right here. If you just do it, Lord, because I know you're faithful like that. And then this is, again, our moment to ask you, if you're looking for a church home, we've been waiting for you. Be a part of us. Because as I said to you in the introductory of the sermon, every one of you brings something unique to purpose. You didn't just happen by Brookville today. It was your purpose. And can I get some of y'all to admit to this person or these persons that I'm talking to that all of us don't always understand our purpose? Some of us discovered it later. So don't be hesitant to say, I don't know it yet. You don't have to know it yet. He knows it. That's what assignments are about. Discovery. So if you're here today, you're looking for a church home, our doors are open to you. You can come and be a part of us so we can be a part of you. And we can continue the journey together. I'm at that place in my life where I don't want to go by myself. I want some folk to go with me. Just in case a fight break out. Or we don't have enough money. We put our money together and eat. Buy gas. Y'all remember we used to do stuff like that? We used to pool the car before we drove off. Okay, how much you got? How much you got? And whoever didn't have nothing got put out. Hey, man, you don't need you going. You ain't got nothing. Come on, man, y'all don't leave me. So we let them go anyway. So that's how I am on my journey now. I want to go with Chris, Darcell, Larry, and Lewis, and Wanda, and Vicky. I want to go with some people. So if I fall, there's going to be somebody to help me get up. You know, if the enemy come, I ain't out there by myself. So I don't want to go it alone. So we're welcoming you today. Everybody set? Everybody good? There's a hand standing. No, there ain't no hand standing. Sorry. There's a person standing next to you. Would you hold their hand as we pray together? Hold their hand. Squeeze it a little bit. Show them that you have life and vitality. Little strength. Don't be weak standing by me. Squeeze a little bit. Amen. God, we thank you today for the interesting hand that I'm holding, which is connected to an interesting life. But that life is filled with the vitality of victim, victor transformation. Because once, Lord, it used to get to the best of us, but now we're more than conquerors. So we're no longer victims, we're victors. And because of what you're doing in this life, from the hand that I'm holding, I am encouraged. When I see my sister and my brother walking in the glory of God, holding their head up, fighting the good fight of their faith, I'm encouraged. Because I know you're no respecter of person. And what you're doing in this life, you'll do in my life. And what's so wonderful is you will tailor make it to fit me. So I'm not going to ask you, God, to give me what you gave my neighbor. I'm going to ask you to give me what you have for me. And I know you've got something for me. Because Paul said, you will supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. I'm excited about what you're going to do next. You've already done so much. So God, do it next. Shirley Caesar says that we're next in line for a miracle. And so God, I'm going to stay in the line. I don't care how long I got to stay there. I'm not getting out of this line. I'm going to be like Jacob, Lord. I will wrestle till you bless me. And I'm going to fight a good fight till you bless me. Thank you, Lord. Bless, Lord, the food prepared for us in this celebration today. Bless Pastor Austin and the Zion family. Give them traveling mercies. Bless all we do to your glory and your honor. And forgive us for all we do that brings shame. Lord, we're fighting the best we know how. And sometimes we don't do so good, but we're going to keep on fighting. For in all our ways, we will acknowledge you. Thank you, Lord. Bless this people, we pray. My neighbor needs something special from you today. And so, God, I know that because you hear and answer prayer, and you will supply. Neighbor, help is on the way. Blessings are coming. Help is coming. Healing is coming. That job is coming. The bills will get paid. Your health will be restored. Your children will strengthen up. Your marriage will be strengthened. Your job will calm down. The madness will end. Help is on the way. Look to the hills, which cometh your help. And I assure you that your help is coming from the Lord. He is the maker of everything. Bless your neighbor. Love you in Christ Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Hug at least four or five people. Say something nice to them. And we'll see you downstairs and we can enjoy ourselves together. What's up, man? You doing all right?